Hello, welcome back to the St. Philip the Apostle School Social Studies Podcast. This is a special episode we decided to devote to the vacancy on the Supreme Court. If you've been listening to our episode so far, you'll know we've been working on a lot of different aspects of podcasts. And with this episode, we hope to have the sound levels worked out by having contributors working on speaking directly into the mics with a strong voice. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
Hello, I'm Kevin.
Hi, I'm Madison.
Hi, I'm Katrina.
And I'm Claudia.
And I'm Mr. W. So let's begin by discussing why there is a vacancy on the Supreme Court to begin with, and what is rare about this vacancy in particular. So go ahead and take that one, Claudia.
So there is a vacancy in the Supreme Court because Antonin Scalia just died. And this is rare because usually the justices don't die in office. They usually have a retirement plan, so it was really unexpected.
Good. And why is it that they serve so long in office? Who remembers that?
I know why it's not good to have to die in office and retire before. So the president has a chance to think of who he wants to be the next Supreme Court justice.
Good. Generally, they want to announce their retirement with plenty of time so the president can figure out who he wants, and then they can go through the Senate and have it confirmed. How long are you appointed to be a Supreme Court justice for?
Until you die?
Yeah, it's for life, right? It's a lifetime appointment. So you either die or you retire or resign or whatever the case may be. You could be impeached, but that's pretty rare, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you guys think about the opening?
It's unexpected because you never really hear about this on the news, because it does happen pretty often, but not like every year or every couple years.
Well, a lot of the Republicans are saying that they should wait until the next president to appoint a new justice. And I think that President Obama should appoint the next justice, because with a 4-4 court, they need someone to decide them so that they're not evenly split.
Okay, good. Claudia brings up a good point about the even split. Who wants to explain why it's important that they not be evenly split?
If they're evenly split, then that means there can be a tie between the two parties, and that can cause a problem because then it has to go back to
the original decision.
Good. So if it has to be sent back to the lower court, most of the lower courts were appointed by a Republican or a Democrat? Who remembers?
A Democrat.
Good. So if it's appointed mostly by Democrats, then that means most of the appointments to the appellate courts are Democrats. So these decisions were made by Democrats, which means that if they wait, then the decisions will all be a Democratic-based decision rather than a Republican one. Why else maybe shouldn't they wait before appointing somebody else?
Because if the next president is a Democrat, then that's just ruining what all the Republican senators and House representatives stand for.
Yeah, so there's no guarantee that the next president won't be a Democrat. And then the Republicans will still have to appoint somebody who was nominated by a Democratic president. Good. Why are they even discussing whether or not they should allow Barack Obama's nominee to go through? Why is it even a question?
It's mostly a question because since it's election year and we're getting a new president, the new president might not agree with who he nominates, so that could be an upcoming problem if he does.
When was the last time we had a vacancy on the court?
2010 was last time.
Good. And so then if it was 2010, who was the president?
Barack Obama.
Good. So the last two presidents have each nominated two people to the bench. George W. Bush nominated two. Barack Obama nominated two. So this would be his third nomination. There was another case where a president was on his way out, and there was a vacancy to the court. And this was in 1988, and it was Ronald Reagan was the president. And there's a really interesting clip that's going around. So I'm going to go ahead and read something from the Huffington Post that put up the video about it. So if you want, you can go search for the Huffington Post video of the Gipper, who is Ronald Reagan, talking about an appointment at the end of his presidency. Okay, now, the Huffington Post is not usually a site we use in class, correct?
Yeah.
Who remembers why not?
It used to be a blog.
But primarily, it's because of its political leanings, right?
Yeah.
So what are the political leanings? It is an actual news site now. It was Arianna Huffington's personal blog. But what is the political leaning, and why is it so obvious?
Because they basically just show their opinions on different circumstances.
Okay, and which way do they lean? Is it liberal or conservative?
More liberal.
Yeah. So the Huffington Post is a very liberal source, so we try not to use that too much during class, because just like we try to not use things like Fox News, which are heavily conservative. Okay, but we're going to go ahead and look at this. So it says, in the clip from C-SPAN, the Gipper urges the Democrat-controlled Senate to confirm Anthony Kennedy, whom he nominated to the Supreme Court late in 1987. Kennedy was ultimately confirmed in February 1988 by a 97-0 vote. At the time, Reagan called on all Americans to join together in a bipartisan effort to fulfill our constitutional obligation of restoring the United States Supreme Court to full strength. He also asked the Senate for prompt hearings conducted in the spirit of cooperation and bipartisanship. Unlike today's Republicans, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee did not threaten to block the nomination nor urge Reagan to leave the seat vacant for the next president to fill. I'm glad the president has made his choice, said then-Senator Joe Biden, according to a report The New York Times from November 12, 1987. We will get the process underway and move as rapidly as is prudent. We want to conduct the committee's review with both thoroughness and dispatch. Kennedy was actually Reagan's third choice to fill the seat that was vacated by Justice Lewis F. Powell Jr., who retired in June 1987. The Senate rejected his first choice, Robert Bork, while his second, Douglas Ginsburg, withdrew from consideration when it was revealed that he had smoked marijuana previously in college.
I think about the second guy that was removed. It's kind of odd because when you hear about marijuana, it's more of a liberal thing, and that guy happens to be conservative.
Right, but you have to remember that in the 1980s, that was like the high time for the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. Having that come out about him was really damaging to his chances of becoming a Supreme Court justice, because at that time it was a much bigger deal if somebody who was nominated for something had done drugs, whereas, you know, you look 10, 15 years later when Barack Obama's running for president and nobody cared, right? So what are your thoughts on the fact that, you know, in 1987 and 88, which isn't that far ago, right? It's only about less than 20 years ago, they were able to come together and vote on a nominee for a president despite the fact that president was leaving office. They didn't call on him to wait or not nominate somebody.
For President Reagan, they believe that when you actually look at his polls and the fact that most of America agreed with him and liked him, I think it was a better choice to have an extra Supreme Court justice, because everybody liked Reagan and it wasn't a problem. Or they didn't have a problem with his choice at all.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin, because he was a really well-liked president, and everybody was able to agree that one Supreme Court justice could be elected and all of that, because people were like, oh yeah, so that's Ronald Reagan. We can still decide, you know, because people can come together. Whereas this year, it's a little bit more divided with the Democrat and Republican parties, and it's harder to find that happy medium in a way.
So do we think that the fact that the 2016 election is so contentious, so hard fought, that people are so upset and angry over it, do you think that's playing into this at all about whether or not he should get to nominate somebody or whether or not they should wait? You know, the 1988 election wasn't that hard fought or contentious, really. It was seen as George H.W. Bush was just going to basically continue the Reagan paradigm, which, as you guys both mentioned, everybody was kind of fine with. They enjoyed the Reagan years. He was a very popular president. So do you think that everybody in the country, well, not everybody, but a large number of people in the country being so upset about things is feeding this idea that the next person should get to choose?
Yes.
Can you explain why?
Because they don't know who's going to be president, and I think that since the justice is going to be appointed for life, that president should like them. Like, if it's a Republican president, then they're not going to agree with Obama's nomination, but they're stuck there for life, so.
Yeah, this year it's a little bit of a closer race. You know, I remember a lot of my classmates at first were saying, oh yeah, Hillary Clinton is going to win, but it seems that the numbers have changed and people's opinions have changed a lot, so that could be playing into the factors that change being able to find a good Supreme Court justice at this time.
I agree. I think it's just that 2016 and like the election, and we don't usually go very long without having with a seat vacant. So I think it's just better for them to have Obama just like have his nominee fill in the spot, because if we wait too long, if cases come up, things are going to happen, and maybe it's like things could last a lot longer than they really need to, because if there's like a split between like the votes, they're going to have like disagreements, and it's just going to go on a lot longer than it really needs to.
Good. Does anybody remember the record for how long a seat has stayed vacant on the Supreme Court?
100 days.
Good. And if you went from the day Scalia died to the day the next president can take office and nominate somebody, that's 341 days.
Right? Yeah.
So that's a pretty big difference. Why is it so important that they get somebody nominated? Why is it so important that the seat be filled? And why do people care so much? The Supreme Court is the least powerful of the three branches, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But what is it about being a lifetime appointment that makes it so important to people in the Senate that they get somebody that they want?
Well, you can't necessarily, since you said it's a lifetime appointment, you can't necessarily get rid of someone if their ideals are something you don't like. So you have to be really careful with who you choose and who you pick, because it's a lifetime appointment and you would be stuck with that ideology for a long time.
What you see with most of the Supreme Court justices is that they are either very liberal or very conservative. You don't see like a very neutral justice with their decisions and their ideas.
If President Obama is able to nominate and get his nominee through, that will actually change the makeup of the Supreme Court, because Antonin Scalia was a conservative or a liberal?
Conservative.
He's a conservative. So that would mean that now there's four conservative and four liberals on the court. We're using the terms loosely, obviously, right? They don't apply to everybody. Mm-hmm. But if he got another person nominated who is Democratic, they would probably lean more liberal, more conservative.
More liberal.
Liberal.
Right. So then the court would be tipped for the first time in many years to five Democratic or liberal justices, as opposed to just four conservative or Republican ones. So it kind of makes sense that the Democrats and the Republicans would be so interested in filling the seat, and why the Republican-controlled Senate would be so against confirming any nominee from President Obama. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We hope you've enjoyed our special fourth episode of the SPAS Social Studies Podcast. Next week, we'll revisit the idea of competing teams when we record episodes 5 and 6. Goodbye.